What happens when our theology is driven by freshness instead of faithfulness? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled New Thing Theology. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details how Bob Leeko journeyed from the Word Faith movement to faith in Christ alone. The free online Issues, etc. journal.
We're thrilled that the court has exonerated and vindicated their practices and made it clear that in America we tolerate a diversity of opinions and beliefs, and we don't try to silence people or try to separate what they say from what they believe.
That's Senior Counsel Brett Harvey of Alliance Defense Defending Freedom, which represented the town of Greece in a case before the Supreme Court about prayer at public meetings. Now, the Supreme Court has said pray away, but don't be exclusive, and they've opined on the purpose of public prayer using the word ceremonial. What does that mean? Joining us to talk about the Supreme Court's ruling in favor of prayer at public meetings, Pastor Heath Curtis. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, author of a recent post for Gottesdienst Online titled SCOTUS, It's Okay to Pray as Long as You Don't Really Mean It. Heath, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Always good to be with you, Todd.
Was yesterday's Supreme Court ruling a victory for Orthodox Christianity?
No. Certainly not a victory for Orthodox Christianity. It was a victory for, well, for what exactly? For the public space of, it was a victory for religion in the public space, I suppose, but you certainly could not say it was a victory for the biblical faith.
Why not?
Well, in Supreme Court findings, you know, the devil is in the details. And so, you know, what is splashed over the headlines is, no problem if you have a Christian, open your town council meeting with prayer. And that's, you know, okay, great, you know, excellent. You know, I'm glad that's true. That's been happening in this country since before this country existed, since, you know, before it was United States of America. There are people, you know, having their own communities, their own legislatures, their own government bodies, and we've had Christian prayer at those since, you know, the 17th century. Great. But then you begin to read the actual report or the actual opinions, and the majority opinion, what is most fascinating to me is how it talks against itself. So, on the one hand, several times Justice Kennedy, a Roman Catholic, is the guy who wrote the opinion of the court. In several places, he says, "Look, we don't want to get into a situation where judges are judging the content of prayers." He wants to avoid some kind of test for does this practice violate the Establishment Clause in the First Amendment. He wants to avoid a test that forces a judge to evaluate a prayer. However, I'll just read a couple of quotations from what he said. He quotes, he views himself as upholding a previous decision referred to as the Marsh decision. He said, "The content of a prayer is not a concern of judges." That sounds great. Until, you know, the next words, "provided there is no indication that the prayer opportunity has been exploited to proselytize or advance anyone or to disparage any other faith or belief." And then again, he says, "absent a pattern of prayers that over time denigrate, proselytize, or betray an imperishable government purpose, a challenge based solely on the content of a particular prayer will not likely establish a constitutional violation." So on the one hand, Justice Kennedy doesn't want judges to judge the content of prayers. But on the other hand, I mean, he says very directly that I'm going to judge the content of your prayers. If I think your prayer is a proselytizing prayer, it's no good. If I think your prayer denigrates unbelievers, it's no good. At another place, it says, if over the course of practice over time, if this shows the invocations denigrate unbelievers or religious minorities or threaten damnation or preach conversion, well, those don't count. So he takes away very swiftly with the left hand what his right hand supposedly had given. He absolutely sets up a system where the content of the prayer will be the deciding factor. There will be more of these cases to come down. This is by far the end of this in American jurisprudence.
The idea introduced in part of that opinion, ceremonial prayer, what is it and what are your thoughts on it?
Well, this is, I'm not going to quote Justice Kennedy this time. Here's my summary after reading what he has to say, and it is this, that the purpose of prayer at these public, but specifically this case was about prayer before legislative bodies, so the chaplain of the House of Representatives, his prayer, or the famous Marsh case was about the chaplain hired by the Nebraska legislature. The purpose of those prayers, and I do have a quote for what he says that is, the purpose of these prayers from the nation's earliest days, invocations have been addressed to assemblies. So this is fascinating. Justice Kennedy evidently doesn't understand what prayer is. Prayer is not addressed to the people in the room. Prayer is addressed to some deity. But at any rate, from the nation's earliest days, invocations have been addressed to assemblies compromising many different creeds. Okay, why? Striving for the idea that people of many faiths may be united in a community of tolerance and devotion, even if they disagree as to religious doctrine. So this is a keystone of his argument, that this prayer in the American civil religion indicates that we are a united, devotional community, even though we disagree on doctrine. And we're not talking about here, you know, it's another conversation to talk about prayer between Lutherans and Presbyterians and Roman Catholics. He's talking about, you know, this is prayers between Buddhists and Jews and Christians and Mormons and Muslims and whatever else. Justice Kennedy views the purpose of these kind of prayers before public assemblies to be teaching that we, as the American people, are a united community of tolerance and devotion. Now, that's syncretism in its most blatant form.
So just to summarize here before we take our next break with you, and that is, according to the opinion rendered here on public prayer, the reason that this is, in fact, not good news, but really actually bad news, the court is essentially saying, as long as these prayers serve the function of civil religion, that is, religion in the service of the state's purposes, they're fine, obviously. But when they begin to serve the function of religion, any given religion, then we will scrutinize the content, and we will, well, perhaps we will not permit such prayers.
Exactly. If this, I don't know anything about Greece, New York, but if the preachers of Greece, New York all got together and we had three or four prayers in a row where part of the prayer was, and the only way to heaven is Jesus, you know, Justice Kennedy says, well, if that becomes a pattern, that's a pattern of proselytizing, that's a pattern of denigrating people who don't believe in Jesus, that won't meet the muster of what Kennedy has laid out as his Establishment Clause test.
Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. We're talking about a Supreme Court ruling in favor of prayer in public meetings. Well, it's in favor of some prayers, narrowly defined prayers in public meetings. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, author of a recent post for Gottesdienst Online titled SCOTUS, It's Okay to Pray as Long as You Don't Really Mean It. He used a term just a minute ago, syncretism. When we come back, we'll define that one.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about a Supreme Court ruling in favor of prayer at public meetings and certain kinds of prayer at public meetings. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. He's author of a recent post for Gottesdienst online titled SCOTUS. It's okay to pray as long as you don't really mean it. You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Look, Heath, many of our listeners are frustrated at a point like this. They say, can't we just put this one in the win category? Come on. I mean, we're losing, or apparently losing. We lost on school prayer. We're losing on public displays at holiday times. We're losing on this and that at the religion in the public square under constant threat. And here the Supreme Court gives us a little light at the end of the tunnel. Why can't we just put this one in the win category?
As long as you want to say it's a little light at the end of the tunnel, you know, it's, you know, just we got to call a spade a spade. I mean, this does preserve the status quo of, you know, there's a little space in American public life for religion, but it is actually if you just view it as a win, though, you know, you're falling for the smoke screen. Because let me read you another something else the court said. If the town had let its chaplains know that they should speak in non-sectarian terms, common to diverse religious groups, then no one would have valid grounds for complaint. Now, that's from the dissent. But how is that different than if the course and practice over time shows that the invocations denigrate non-believers or religious minorities or threaten damnation, then they're not okay? That's from the opinion of the court. I just don't see very much daylight between what Kennedy said and what the chief dissent said. If you really want robust words about the space of for religion in American life, the freedom of states and municipalities to have religious displays of any kind, then you've got to look to one of the partial concurrences, concurred in part and dissented in part, or really just concurred in part but with a differing opinion, written by Justice Thomas and joined by Justice Scalia, who said that, you know what, guys, the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, this doesn't apply to the states or municipalities at all. This gets into a kind of a complicated historical issue about how you treat the 14th Amendment. But Thomas and Scalia are the only two guys on the court who, in this opinion, said, we have no business judging this, what happens in the town of Greece, what kind of prayers they have. We have no business messing with it. It's not our job. Only two guys on the court think that. Everybody else, to one degree or another, signed an opinion that said, the content of the prayer, in one way or another, will be part of the test for whether or not public prayer passes the Establishment Clause test.
There is kind of a common sense force to Scalia and Thomas's dissent in part or concur in part, because, I mean, essentially they're saying, look, we're the Supreme Court of the United States. The Establishment Clause is there to limit the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't speak to the states. Plus, why do we want to waste our time worrying about what they're praying at the town council meeting in Greece, New York?
Right, exactly. There is a lot of common sense there. You know, the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law concerning the establishment of religion. Now, the argument is that the vast majority of the members of the court, the seven members of the court, buy into, is that the 14th Amendment makes every part of the First Amendment apply to the states. If you've got the time, running over to the Supreme Court's website and reading Thomas's concurrence is very worthwhile, because he has very good history and a very good argument for why he believes the 14th Amendment does not apply to making the Establishment Clause apply to the states. And he's got a great history that, again, many Americans are ignorant of. That state, you know, the last state church to be disbanded was the State Church of Massachusetts in 1833. So, you know, two generations after the Constitution was ratified, there were still established churches at the state level. But it's always fun to read Supreme Court opinions, whether they deal with religion or not. But what to me is fascinating is, boy, there's just not much daylight between the real meat of what the opinion of the court said and what the dissent said. They both refer to, I want to disabuse people of thinking that this was some grand blow for freedom. The court very much reserved the right to revisit this if they believe that these prayers in the public space are proselytizing or denigrate religious minorities or threaten damnation or preach conversion. And so my encouragement to my brother is in the clergy is, would you ever give some prayer someplace where somebody, you know, told you, now you can't talk about this. You can't say, you know, Jesus is the only way to heaven. You can't say we pray for the conversion of all men. You can't say that apart from Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. Well, if you wouldn't sign on to that kind of limitation, then really this kind of opinion can't make you that excited.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Borden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Author of a recent post for Gottesdienst Online titled "SCOTUS: It's Okay to Pray as Long as You Don't Really Mean It." Heath, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Ted.
Folks, let's just review the topics that we've covered and the expert guests that we've interviewed just today here on Issues Etc. John Bombaro on the exclusive claims of Christ. We reviewed another episode of Cosmos of Space-Time Odyssey with Dr. Danny Faulkner. We spent some time with Craig Evans talking about biblical archaeology. He's one of the very best in the world. Robert Spencer joined us from Jihad Watch to talk about the terrible story out of Islamist Nigeria. And then Pastor Heath Curtis lending his pastoral thoughts and his considerable powers of discernment to the Supreme Court ruling in favor of prayer at public meetings. Now, if you appreciate the breadth of topics that we cover, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Now, for any size gift, we will send you a CD of sermons that I have preached on the resurrection of Christ and on the Old Testament book of Job. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Terry Mattingly of Get Religion about media coverage of the Supreme Court ruling about prayer in public meetings, get his thoughts on this, how the media is talking about the Supreme Court decision that we have learned just now is not necessarily good news for people who really want to pray Christian prayers, not syncretistic prayers in the public square. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.